Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, we talked to one of my favorites, Gary Loris from the Jayhawks, and we got the news coming up as well, and Gary's going to play us a song as well. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Tax season, scary enough. Now the IRS is warning about ghost tax preparers who don't sign as the paid preparer and could be a red flag. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our info at risk on the internet. In an instant, cyber criminals could harm your finances and your credit. Good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they will send you an alert and you'll have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. It's LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can keep what's yours, yours with LifeLock Identity Theft Protection. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam. That's LifeLock.com, promo code Adam for 25% off.
Miles of empty skies and never winding streets, so incomplete and all. When I close my eyes, I always see your face. I hear your voice, I'm almost home.
Gary Loris is with us. You know him from the Jayhawks and from me and from a lot of other people. Jump for Joy is the solo album we're going to hear something from today. It's available June 4th, wherever you listen to music, but you can pre-order it now. Good to see you, Gary.
Hey, Adam. Nice to see you again. The last time I was there, I was in the place with all your hot cars.
Yeah, Mike, I believe, gave Gary some wrong information.
Oh, you don't say?
Told him to show up on a day he wasn't supposed to show up. But that day was a Sunday, I think, and Gary showed up, and the show was over, but I said, why don't you have some beers with us at the shop,
nice,
and we'll watch some football.
It was a
good day.
It was.
I'm a fan of yours and a fan of the Jayhawks, and I constantly force everyone I know to listen to the Jayhawks, and my conversion rate is 100%. I get everyone into the Jayhawks.
Well, I think to know us is to love us, you know. It's just people don't know us, you know. But, you know, we've been around a long time. So, you know, thanks for pushing us a little bit.
Did you guys form, I'm reading here, in 85?
Yeah. We're an 80s band. Yeah, in 85 we started up in Minneapolis and got signed to a major label in 91, Dirk Rubin's. Then called Deaf American Records, and that was when it kind of could quit our day jobs and kind of really go for it.
Was the Jayhawks' music is so good, but it doesn't really have a category per se, or at least it doesn't fall like strong into rock or rap or whatever. It's sort of sort of, I don't know, maybe transcends it. But was that something, did you just say we're going to play music we want to play that sounds good to us? Or did you have thoughts about like a category for a band?
No, we definitely didn't. I don't know. I grew up listening to all English music. I was total Anglophile, and you know, Zeppelin and the Beatles and the Who and the Kinks and all that stuff, and then into the punk rock, English punk rock, and art rock and stuff like that. And it was only later in life I kind of discovered some kind of rootsy American influences, and so that just kind of mixed in with the British stuff. And I don't know, we couldn't help ourselves. We just kind of do what we do. And, you know, some of the best music falls in the seams, you know, between categories.
You have a song you're going to do for us off the new album?
I do.
What's the name of the song? I don't have it.
It's called Follow. And it's just a straight on love song.
Now, who does it feature?
Who does it feature?
No, this is DJ Khaled.
It's a DJ Khaled reference.
Is it? Okay.
You wrote it. You're singing it. You're playing the guitar. It's all you.
Well, now it really features my wife, Steph.
Very good.
In here, Steph. She's kind of, it's become her song.
Oh, hi, Steph. And
she's a fan, so she says hi. She asked if
I'm
she.
A big Adam Carolla fan.
Oh.
You guys
she doesn't really care about me that much, but.
Are you guys recently married?
Yes.
Yes.
As of last October.
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
Congratulations. Yeah. Wait, Steph, are you going to sing?
Has everyone been drinking? If so, yes.
And then why would you be a fan of mine? I feel you're out of my demo.
How do you demographic?
Really? Well, I've been listening to Howard Stern for 25 years.
Probably heard me on Stern all those times.
That's where it happened. That's where the love began, Adam.
Wow.
Nice.
Is that like somebody saying to me, I like you because I heard about you through Wilco? Kind of the same thing?
Kind of.
I hope you take a little bit.
Follow the blockchain.
But in a weird way, a higher praise because now they're on to you.
You got to get Howard onto the Jayhawks and Gary Louris. That's your next one.
That's her mission.
He would love the Jayhawks.
I think he would. He's a sappy guy. He likes the love song.
I'm kind of sappy. Yeah, I have I always thought our music was for like smart, sensitive, kind of for sensitive people. People would come to our shows and the guy would come up after the show. He looked like he was going to beat the shit out of me. And then he'd just start kind of crying and go, I love your music.
Well, the lyrics are a little self-deprecating, kind of smart, interesting. Like there's a lot in the lyrics, but it's not kind of in your face. It's much more subtle. You have to kind of unpack it a little bit.
Yeah, but the problem with the Jayhawks music is they don't tell you where to get peaches and they don't tell you where to get weed.
It's a Justin Bieber reference.
All right. I love the Biebs.
That's
the
Biebs, his new song.
Man. I know. I gotta work with the Biebs. But yeah, well, thank you. I don't know. It's you can't pick your audience, but I think ours are usually pretty... A lot of people wear glasses, seem to. It's not as diverse as I'd like it to be, but I appreciate anybody who listens, and I especially appreciate your support over the years, Adam.
Well, I'm a massive fan of quality, and I know everyone says this about everything they like, but some people talk about Taco Bell that way. You know, I guess in my heart, I'm kind of a craftsman. And I like any craft. I like the execution of a craft. And the reason I don't like a lot of new music with a lot of computers and dubbing and overlays and stuff, it doesn't feel like that craft, mm-hmm. you know. And the Jayhawks always felt to me like they had a lot of craft in their music. And maybe you'd listen, I'd grow up listening to guys like James Taylor or something like that. And I could just feel like sort of the craft in what he was doing. And the Jayhawks always felt like there was a lot of craft in what they were doing.
Well, thank you. I'll take that. I was going to make some self-deprecating remark, but I'm
just
holding
take
off.
It. Yeah.
I'm just going to take that compliment and run with it, you know. So anyway, the song, you know, I wrote it kind of like, well, my niece and her husband were niece and her husband were getting married, and I wrote them a song for their wedding instead of getting them some,
another toaster.
China, yeah. And then it just kind of all, I changed the lyrics, I met Steph, and so we're kind of carrying the whole John and Yoko torch, you know, like over the top. We don't care if we make people sick to their stomachs by watching how lovey-dovey we are. So we've been making our videos here. And this one that we made for Follow, which I think comes out tomorrow, I think it's on the Rolling Stone, featured there, is just like an old-fashioned kind of John and Yoko home movie kind of thing. So we're embracing it. If people get sick,
it's on them.
It's on them, right.
We do it?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I got to put on the... I got a suck and blow here.
Oh.
You got to put your harmonica on. I got speaking of harmonica, now I'm going to change gears. I got a super long text from John Popper today about a cannon or a gun. I got to go look it up.
Cannon or a gun?
He likes guns and cannons.
I know he does. I know. Our guitar tech used to work for him. So yeah. I heard the whole story about him and he likes his snacks too.
He likes snacks.
He
likes snacks and guns.
Snacks and guns, and shot a squirrel inside of his own home last time I talked to him.
Did he fry it up? And
no, I don't think. Chicken. I think he's more of a Pringles guy than he is a squirrel guy.
Well, I have a question. Do you play an instrument?
No, I feel like I appreciate people. I appreciate people that play instruments and speak languages. Mm-hmm. Anyone who can do anything I can do, I have zero appreciation. All I do is walk around all day and go, that guy's not funny. but I go, that guy can play a harmonica. I go, it's a big deal.
Well, I'm no John Popper, I'll tell you that. I just kind of second blow. But, and do your kids play instruments? Did you get them?
No, they're way too undisciplined to do anything.
I don't know how I did it. My mom just said I'd be more popular. And here I am. Okay, so here it's called Followed.
Picture me by your side, that's where I long to stay, till the chestnut turns to gray, if you will follow me. Ripples made, skipping stones across a quiet bay, like a dream from which we'll never wake, if you will follow me. Others, home's only where you are.
Oh, fantastic, Gary.
That crowd.
That just made the wedding playlist.
That is going to be on. We have a song called All the Right Reasons, which is usually the choice of weddings, but
that's a beautiful song.
This one's going to be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, find All the Right Reasons. I love that song. I'm curious. See, the thing that's interesting about Gary and the Jayhawks and Gary solo as well is most bands, they kind of have a here are the three songs you should like, mm-hmm. and then here's the kind of mail it in songs.
Take the good with the bundle them.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when I back in the day when you'd buy an album because you heard the hit on the radio, and you'd hear it. Like even a band like The Police or something had a couple of songs that you like, but there was a couple of filler songs like in there that clearly were just there to kind of
fill it out.
Fill out them.
Filler. I know we never really had a lot of filler. Usually we have a little too much material. I think sometimes we have to wait to put out records because unlike like the big, I don't know where I'm going to go with this, but the big artists, you know, like our label was always like, well, wait, when not everybody's releasing a record. And so we had a lot of songs. You know, we always have a lot of songs.
But here's then the question. So I don't know why I brought up The Police, but there are other bands. And you go, well, here are the songs. And these other songs are kind of weird, throwaway, funky something songs. And then the radio would kind of tell you, here are the songs you're supposed to like from this band, that band, and the other. I find myself listening to the Jayhawks, and I just like all the songs. But then I find myself going, well, wait a minute. What songs are your songs? Because I don't know if there are songs. I've had my songs. And what are your favorites? So, Max Patton, I got to pull up all the Jayhawks songs. and Gary Lehrer's songs, and I gotta figure this out because I don't know if we are simpatico on the songs I like the best versus the songs you like the best. I mean, we could.
You're talking about me and you, or
me and you. Yeah, I'm
this could be a whole nother show.
This is a whole nother show. But and also a thing about the Jayhawks is, I will find myself not paying attention to certain songs for a long period of time and then falling in love with that song, which is a good sign, I think.
I would think so. I mean, our stuff kind of, it seeps in there, and I it's certainly never been fashionable or trendy. And I think our longevity is somewhat due to the fact that we never were attached to any particular movement or genre or you know, kind of, we're not really an 80s band. We're not really a 90s band. I have friends. I know a lot of people who had those hits, you know, and they don't have the longevity we have because they had the songs that were on the radio when everybody listened to them in the office or something. And then people moved on to the next hit, you know, and we never had that because we never really had a hit.
A blessing and a curse.
And so what's the status now? Are you touring? Are you getting back to touring? Are you doing producing? Like what is a day in the life for you, Gary?
For Gary Lehrer, well, I get up, we sit around and have our coffee and read the paper, and I try to get into the studio here in the house until I can get into another studio. But, you know, I do a streaming show, Patreon. Here's my plug, patreon.com/GaryLehrer. I have been doing some on Facebook, mostly, though, on patreon.com where I do, like, I'll have to connect you up, Adam, because it. There's a lot of old, you know, I have stories about the old days, old footage, old photos, songs that I never released, songs, alternate takes, and I performed some concerts. So I do that. Right now I'm working on a kids record because I think I'm kind of built for that way. And it's really nice to write something where you're just like, just nice, simple song. It's kind of like the Beatles did that in a way. They had that kind of almost that simple kind of white album period. But I'm doing that, and the Jayhawks are going to start playing. I'm going to start playing some solo shows when I can, but the Jayhawks are going to Spain in July. Spain has always been very good to us. So that's the first real thing we're doing, I think. So July, August, things opening up, I believe. And the last time we played, Adam, was in March. We played Brooklyn 6th and 7th of March, and Northampton, Massachusetts on the 8th, and that was it.
That was it.
And that was just when everything was kind of happening. People started bumping elbows and stuff. That was the last time we played. We've done a couple streaming shows as a band. But
this is the longest you've ever been without getting up on stage?
I think so, yeah.
Why mm-hmm. Spain?
I would say, why not? I mean, I tell you, Jayhawks were always seemed to be popular in kind of the more, you know, depressed countries. You know, it's like people are partying, don't really listen to the Jayhawks. Hey, let's have a dance party with the Jayhawks. They don't do that. No, we were always popular in things like Scandinavia, you know, Netherlands, which I love, all these countries, don't get me wrong. United Kingdom, you know, like kind of colder.
Moody,
maybe there's, you know, some months where the sun doesn't come mm-hmm. out, or, you know, that's where they like us, you know, and I think, but for some reason, Spain just hit with us. We were sponsored by this magazine in 2000 called Mondo Sonora, this magazine in Spain, we had some fans there, and they brought us over, and we played all these free concerts, had all the support, and they're very loyal over there. So I actually mm-hmm. bought a house there and lived there off and on for a while, but ended up having to sell. But it's a great country, and we love going there.
Are you doing much writing for other artists and producing and that kind of stuff?
No. I wish, you know, but I it's just never really, since the Dixie Chicks and things, you know, I thought, okay, here I'm on my way. People are going to be calling me. And it just never really took off. You know, I still write when I can with people, but of course it's harder now. It's much better when you're in the same room together. But I hope to do more of that. I mean,
what was the Dixie Chicks collaboration?
What was it like, you mean, or what was it?
I don't.
Well, it was Taking the Long Way, that record. The one, you know, the Backlash record when I wrote like co-wrote about 5 songs off that record. I think you even didn't you request Everybody Knows? That's one that I wrote with the Dixie Chicks or the Chicks. You know,
oh, so. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know why I didn't. Well, let's hear a little. Everybody Knows, if we can.
I mean, I can
find that
it
one. It's one of my. It's definitely one of my favorite. I don't know, should I call it a Jayhawk song or a Dixie Chick song, Gary Lewis song?
It's a Jay Chick song. I don't know. I wrote it with the three of them, you know.
Oh, it's interesting. Because it's one of my favorites.
No, this is the Jayhawks version.
Yeah. Well, I like the Jayhawks version.
Tell me now.
I find this song to be sad. What my son said,
you know,
he didn't think it was sad.
I was asked to write a song for Nickelodeon, you know, like, and I thought, oh, this would be kind of fun. And they didn't go with it. That's kind of the story of my life. These songs, not of my life, but writing for a movie or things like that. Anyway, I don't want to be a sad sack, but I was like, it's too sad sounding.
Oh,
I think my
song.
Voice just sounds sad.
Maybe that's what
I'm
it is.
I'm not that sad, right, honey? No,
right.
I'm happy.
Hold on, Gary. We're going to turn it up a little because I like
Everybody
this song.
Knows.
Come on,
yeah,
now.
I know.
Play this song.
Here I stand, soon I'm surrounded.
Is this a sad song or not? I was arguing with someone about it.
Is it a sad song? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, good. I was right. Yeah. And Rick Rubin produced that one for the Dixie Chicks version?
He did.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure if that's how I got involved, or was it they being fans? I'm never really got that for sure. But of course, we know Rick because we were on his label for a long time.
Yeah.
Have you met Rick before?
I don't. Maybe at a Jimmy Kimmel party, or maybe I met a Dixie Chick. I mean, I had Natalie Maines ask me to take her to the Grammys a million years ago, so I have some Dixie Chick connections. It's a crazy story.
How did that happen?
She was a fan of mine, I guess.
Oh, like your wife.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't think she was in my demo either, but she loved Loveline on MTV. That's what it was, and decided I should escort her to the Grammys when their first Grammys, I think, where they won like best new whatever.
Artist, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting period.
Yeah. In my life. Yeah. I haven't talked to them in a while. They owe me a call.
Yeah. They're great.
Yeah, they are. I mean, I'm open to write with people, anybody, you know, but I haven't done a lot of it lately.
Can we hear a little of the, I mean, I'm talking to my guys. Can we hear a little of the Dixie Chicks version of that song? I can hear them in my head playing. Doing it. I've never heard them do it.
And while they're pulling that up, I think it bears repeating to say about your voice that there's such an intimacy to it we listen to all this music that's so overproduced and it sounds like they're screaming to the rafters, and just the intimacy makes you feel so active and involved while you're singing.
Thank you. I have a quiet voice, you know, so it works better. Speaking of voices, Natalie comes through. She opens her mouth and is, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Effortless. Really effortless.
Should have hitched my wagon to that team a long, long time ago. She's an earner, too. You know?
You haven't heard this version before?
No. I like your version better, but I'm used to it, so you never know.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little...
It's a great song.
This is beautiful, too. I like it.
It's great. Songs you might not realize it. Like, I'm the guy singing on background on One Headlight. You know that song?
Oh, yeah. Really?
And that song, Mr. Jones, by Counting Crows. Sha-la-la. I was all over the place in the 90s. Session work.
You're singing behind the, what, Wallflowers?
Wallflowers and Counting Crows and people like that.
Oh, that's so good.
All right. Well, we get the Dixie version of this. Yeah. So are you in Canada right now?
I am.
Is that where you live?
For now, yeah. I married a Canadian. Right, Steph? And Steph and I are here until we figure out what's going on. I want to buy a house, but it's kind of crazy right now.
Well, yeah. The Canadian thing explains a lot, because if there's ever a hot blonde that's into me, she's never from the United States.
She's not a local gal.
No.
Yeah. I came running to Canada when I met her.
There's been 2.5 or 3. Oh,
2.5.
Like blondes that are good looking, right, that have liked me throughout my life. And I don't mean physically, but obviously we'll cross that bridge when I come out. But they're Canadian.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, they have a better sense of humor. They're not from Florida.
No.
That would never work.
They wouldn't know what to do with you.
Yeah, they grew up on SCTV, so they get you.
Yeah.
Believe me, there's a lot of John Candy comes up a lot in this house.
That's a bad comp.
Is there something? Is there something about a hot chick from Canada? See,
yes.
In this, yeah. No, here, let me finish. Here we put a lot of stock in what a woman looks like, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's that way around the world. But I'm just saying, Here, it's at the cost of many other things.
Yes.
I feel like in Canada, you still have to have a little bit of a game, like a well-rounded game.
Interesting.
Well, I've got game.
You got to be able to dribble with your left.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, like they don't put all the focus on your physicality
and
your aesthetic.
It's part of the, I hate to profile, but it's part of the game being really, really nice. Because
being
a lot
cool.
of American hot chicks, not known for their nice, polite
way. Again, if you're from Miami and you're hot, you don't have to be nice at all. Yeah. Hey, oh, you know, it was a hot Canadian chick who liked me? Possibly the hottest?
Who?
Other than Steph?
Pam Anderson?
No. I think she's from Canada. Natasha Henstridge.
Ooh la la.
Is she Canadian, Steph?
Yes, she is, and she was on a little show called Russian kind of spy. What was it called?
Yeah.
She was a species, for God's sake.
She was a species.
Made me a man.
Yeah. She liked me.
Wow.
And I was like, she cannot be from this country. Like that.
Wow. She's hot. She's from Newfoundland?
Oh, my God. The Rock.
Yeah, The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is a bit of all right.
Oh, yeah. Species. Yeah. Oh, man.
It's peak
that,
anything.
That is awesome.
Check it out.
Yeah. So renting in Canada and getting ready to head back out, I guess. You said
summer.
Summer and head out. Let me give you a plug, Gary. The album is Jump for Joy. It's available June 4th wherever you listen to music. You can pre-order it now and shoot him a tweet at Gary Louris Music. And then the Patreon is patreon.com/Gary, and I'll spell it out: Louris. Gary, Steph, always great connecting.
Great to see you. I want to say we're also huge Paul Newman fans. A lot of it's through the old-time hockey. It's Slapshot.
So that is such a funny movie. Did you watch my doc on Paul Newman? If not,
no.
It's on...
What is it on?
It's not on... It's Amazon Prime, maybe? I don't think it's on Netflix. But if you're a big Paul Newman fan, I got a doc for you.
And what's it called? Just called...
It's called Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman, and it's just about his car racing career. So
I think you'll
find it interesting.
I'm her Paul Newman, and I always take that as the nicest.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's streaming on Prime Video. If you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can watch it.
Streaming on Prime Video. Watch it and enjoy it. I feel like you brought so much joy to my life. I should return the favor in just a 95-minute dose. Thanks, Gary.
Appreciate it,
brother. See you, Steph.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Yeah.
Could not be.
Yeah, circling back to Natasha.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, there's more
that
to say.
Well, we brought up Can Ray Break It. At some point, Ray got that out of her, and I don't know where.
As in, can he break Natasha Henstridge? And
yes,
break the, that's
she'll
funny.
Break under pressure.
That's funny.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I would have dated that guy. Like, I like that guy. Like,
if only you could tell a young teenage Adam Carolla.
Or how about Bald Brian? Let him sniff my fingers. her in Species. It doesn't get much better looking than that.
The peak of the species, of our species, Natasha Henstridge in the movie Species.
Absolutely. All right, we got the news. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Break. Viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grass. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Big news with Gina Grass.
The news with Gina Grad.
Derek Chauvin news, and be curious to see where this goes. Derek Chauvin's attorney filed a motion for a new trial for the ex-Minneapolis cop who was found guilty last month of murdering George Floyd. Lawyer Eric Nelson is claiming juror misconduct and that the court abused its discretion by not agreeing to the defense's desire for a different venue and sequestering the jury. And also, I don't know if you saw, one of the jurors was at a march recently and had a shirt that said something about, like, get off our necks or stepping on our necks or something. So
yeah, I talked to Mark about this in our Beyond a Reasonable Doubt, our little mini episode yesterday, day before. So his guys, so Mark's guys, everyone has guys, the prosecution has guys, the defense has guys in their office, and they're supposed to take a dive into everyone's social media.
Sure.
So they need to find out where you're at, right, because you can say, I don't know anything about this, or I'm not interested, or I'm not active, or I'm not anything, but we shall find, find out.
We'll know.
We'll verify that. So they're supposed to do that. Now, this guy said, you know, he'd heard of the case, but he wasn't really, didn't have thoughts about it one way or the other, and want to get on the jury. But there's a picture of him, I think with, I think it's a shirt that has Martin Luther King on it, and it's like, get your knees off our neck. And it was at a, it was at a, it was a Black Lives Matter thing, and he's done stuff for Black Lives Matter. So obviously this would disclude him from the jury, or disqualify him from the jury. So it's an issue. Now, the question then is, why didn't they find this stuff? Because they're supposed to do their due diligence on everybody. But I don't think it was on his feed. It was like, and I'll screw up my terminology, but it was on his uncle's stuff. Sure. Now, they should probably spread out their net a little bit more than like just the person, probably. But
maybe
who
tagged
knows? Who knows how they do it? But so now this is, according to Mark, this is grounds for a mistrial or whatever, or at least you're going to ask for one if you're, if this is what you want, if your guy just got convicted.
But that's all going to be futile, don't you think?
Probably. Yeah. I according to Mark and in many, we're not, I think it's a decision has been made, which is we are not going to, our cities are not going to burn. This guy, he's going to jail. We're not. I mean, you know, manslaughter, sure. Yeah, murder two and murder three doesn't really even fit those. But we're not going to burn the city down.
And with what everybody knows in general, with the long video and the get off him and all this stuff, this is not the stand that that people want to take. You know, this is not. You know what I mean?
Like, well, there's already enough. There's two arguments here. One is Chauvin despicable? Was what he did reprehensible? Everyone's seen the video. It's hard, very difficult to watch, and so on and so forth. And then there's the technical side. Did what he did do to this guy? Did that kill him? And that's the law,
right?
And they made good arguments kind of both directions for did this. And then there's a lot of extenuating stuff, a lot of fentanyl he had in him, and a lot of his arteries were, some of his arteries, 70, 80, 90% blocked in his heart and stuff. Like, he was in bad physical health. And then you go, well, then did this cause it or did it aggravate? I mean, I think what everyone has basically, politics and burning the city and all that out, it's he had a bunch of pre-existing conditions and this put him over. This exacerbated that condition. But I don't think the jurors aren't going to get in the, we're not going to do this, but they should have done it. They should have never done it in town, and they should have been sequestered. Mark was always like, they should have moved the venue and they should have sequestered. Like, just from Jump Street. Right. How could you possibly,
how can you
do a verdict in a courthouse that's surrounded by people that are going to light the courthouse on fire? There's no form of justice that can work where there's an angry mob standing outside of the place you're going to deliberate.
But it's interesting because in retrospect, didn't we talk about how the defense team felt pretty good about where they were at? Like, that's one of the reasons why Chauvin didn't take the stand. Because, like, no, this is ours to lose. Just shut up. Let's just keep our head down. Keep going. We're in a good spot right now. And that didn't seem to, you know, the jury took, what, a couple hours?
It was a quick verdict.
Yeah. according to Mark and other experts who weren't just sort of pundits, you know, talking heads, who were actually sort of in there and breaking the game film down. It seemed like, I don't know, it would go back and forth. I would talk to Mark twice a week. It's like, oh, good point for this and bad point for that. But seemed like kind of a 60-40 for the defense. It seemed like they'd made their case, and it certainly maybe not for manslaughter, but certainly for murder two and murder three. And, you know, people... I don't even know the morality of it, because like on one hand you go, we can't live in a system where the people's judgment is impaired by the mob that's the whatever. Right. On the other hand, you know, nothing burned down, so yeah. If you get a kind of and it's like Chauvin's no one's favorite anyway,
right?
So. You know, I'm sort of philosophical about it, but
there's also room for the argument that they got it right. It wasn't just a fear thing.
I can't the murder three thing, the definition of that, just doesn't fit. It's like throwing, you remember your car got hit with a cinder block?
I do.
It's shooting into a crowd.
Right.
Like you're not trying to hurt one person, but you have to know what you're doing.
Right.
I listened a lot. That one seemed like a tough putt.
Yeah.
They thought that the DA shouldn't even gone for those at the beginning. Those were kind of, I think Garagus was saying that you're not going to get that one.
I'm curious, and I don't know if you can answer for him because I'm not sure what he was referring to. I need more of an example. But we've talked before about, like, careful what you wish for, because next time it could be your guy. Or whatever.
Garagus does.
Can you give me an example of what that careful what you wish for in this case would be?
Well, I think globally it would be your high-profile despicability making its way into the jurors. You know, the jury going, maybe all the evidence doesn't say it, but I don't like that guy. And I got a fucking wife who's never going to sleep with me again if I do this. And I don't want the city to burn. I mean, just a sort of general.
I thought he meant like police policy. I couldn't figure out.
Oh, some of that. There is some of that.
But I get what you're
saying. I'll give you an example. Again, this is all just me summoning Mark. I'll give you an example. There's an OJ juror who was like, we thought he was guilty, but it was payback for Rodney King.
Right.
Like, she's on record just saying, we just got to even the score, which in Mark's world is a dangerous place to be. You want everything on the merits of the case and not someone going, yeah, we'll see what they did to Rodney King.
Oh, now watch Law and Order.
Yeah, now we're gonna payback's a bitch. Yeah. You know, you don't want that in the, makeup calls. One thing, and there's probably a bunch, but the only one I can remember is all the testimony at the beginning from the prosecution bringing up a parade of people who just talked about how bad they felt.
How they felt,
like how they couldn't sleep at night and all kinds of stuff. He's like, that's not evidence.
But it worked.
Oh, it worked. His thing is that the judge shouldn't have allowed a cavalcade of people to come in and say just how bad they felt. It's
neither here nor there.
Yes, right. That was one he didn't like.
But talk about a sign of the times.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing someone as a witness just to describe how they felt and it being that powerful.
Oh, it's like, I don't know, 17-year-old girl going, I couldn't sleep.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, but that's not exactly powder burns or residue or fingerprints or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He thought that was over. In his world, I think you can bring up one or two of those people, but you can't just do
that's
a parade of those people.
Right.
It's hearsay.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Facebook's independent oversight board, which I did a little digging, and it is quite the cast of characters on the oversight board, like world leaders and I might be making this up, but when I was like the previous, prime minister of Denmark and like all these sort of, they've upheld the social network's ban on Donald Trump saying it was justified in removing his account following the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol because his post, quote, severely violated Facebook's rules and encouraged and legitimized violence. So the story was, we're going to find out today if he's allowed back on Facebook. And here's the verdict. He had some thoughts. Trump responded in a statement saying, what Facebook, Twitter and Google have done is a total disgrace and an embarrassment to our country. Free speech has been taken away from the president of the United States because the radical left lunatics, all caps, are afraid of the truth. But the truth will come out anyway, bigger and stronger than ever before.
I have thoughts. One is, it's weird that they go with an international all-star team because I heard maybe two-thirds of them are from other land.
Yeah.
Because speech codes are different in other places.
You mean just like nomenclatures and just the way we
No,
talk,
I mean like in Europe, like they don't have talk radio.
Oh, okay.
They don't talk radio or like conservative talk radio. Right. That's like a United States thing. Right. I don't think they would allow it in a lot of places.
Interesting.
So we have a different and also free speech is a big deal for us versus other lands. It's just not as big a part of their world.
But
you know?
It's coming down to the fundamental. I guess the fundamental thing here is this is not a free speech issue. This is a violating the platform's rules issue.
Yeah.
Right.
But the platform's rules are sort of in a free speech pool. Like the rules, the problem is we can't really parse it out. Like what the rules are, because but there are many, many instances of people breaking the rules and not being what. There's things that people said that are heinous and they're not pulled down. And then there are people who've been pulled down for lesser things. So, like, I kind of like the diversity of it, but I feel like this is a free speech United States thing. I like a few more yanks on that board.
It's not, though. You can debate. One can debate whether or not he violated the rules or if he was in violation. That's the debate. Whether or not it's free speech is neither here nor there. It's a private company.
Oh, yeah. But according to their – but the problem is they are not regulated – and they're going to get regulated if they just do, they were a private company, we can do what we want.
I don't know what you mean.
So
explain what you mean.
The Congress.
Some are saying that because they're so powerful, well, so big, that
they're like a monopoly. And they're a monopoly that says, we welcome all a diversity of all speeches, left and right, in the middle and everything else. Then Congress will let them do it. But if they start shaping it up into here's kind of where we lean, then I think, and I'm not an expert in this law, but they're going to start saying then you're on your own. People can sue you and things like that. We're not going to protect you anymore. The Trump thing, two things. I think they're going to turn him into a martyr.
They
which
already
is
are.
Not a good angle.
It's if you already
want,
happening.
If you want less Trump, you should probably
let him
speak because the cancel thing, all that does is fire up that base.
Absolutely. But is it Oliver Wendell Holmes or who gets quoted as, the
guy
right,
from Green Acres?
Yes. The right for a man to swing his arm ends at the other man's nose. Or whatever.
Yeah,
so that's the kind of thing that makes me think of, like, you could say whatever, but it's like, you know, shouting fire in a crowded theater. Like, you can say all this stuff, but if you believe you have whipped people up enough to insurrect the Capitol, then that's what they're talking about. If you're of that belief.
Yeah, you can say some crazy shit on Facebook, believe me. There's no
right. Right.
Well, I think what it's coming down to, and I listened to the actual quotes today, and they're basically saying Trump was saying both things. He was saying this election's a sham and I was robbed, and then he was saying but be peaceful at the same time. His stuff has there's a bunch of be peaceful and quietly and go home and stuff, and then he was saying I was robbed. So
then he said let's all go, I'll walk with you, and everyone's like where'd he go? Remember?
Well, the tweets or whatever the posts were that they were looking for. That's what I was listening. They're fairly. It all depends, because if you do it down to its letter, it's not really egregious.
If you're reading it on paper.
Yeah, if you're just hearing it, it's not really egregious. But if you go, but if he's saying he's robbed, isn't he asking for this,
yeah,
even though he's saying
the proof's kind of the pudding?
Go home.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I don't know. I think they're going to make him a martyr. I think what the problem is they all hate Trump. So I think big tech. I think those guys, they hate Trump.
Answer this question. Do you think it behooves them? I think it does. Them being Facebook or Twitter or whatever, to have Trump on their platform. I think it does. Like, it obviously brings more attention. It's in the news more. You know, Trump tweeted today. Blah, blah, blah.
I think it's a lot like when you hear about a lot of big companies and business and things that are going on now. Like, it's like MLB leaving Atlanta and going to Colorado. Does it cost them money? Does it hurt them? Like, it probably does, but I think in big picture, that's the ethos. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think I agree. Like, I would look, if I was Twitter, I'd look at Trump as an earner.
Of course.
You know, and that guy's.
It was in Gina's song, all those crazy Trump tweets. Yeah. It was ubiquitous for four plus years.
Yeah. I think we're at a stage now where a lot of people are just going, I'm a conscientious objector. Like, I don't promote. Well, I like saying, you know, it's like, it's not exactly the same, but it's like, well, wouldn't you get more business if you had some child pornography on your site? And you go, well, yeah, I have kids.
Right.
I think there's an element of that.
But I'm also wondering if this is one of those.
Not me personally.
I appreciate you equating Trump with child porn.
Yeah.
If this is one of the perfect examples of like canceling Megyn Kelly's show because we're kind of done with her ratings are down. Hello, we're done with them. His ratings are down. He's not the president anymore. We don't need whatever the news, the tech, whatever, doesn't need him anymore because he's not in the spotlight. So now is a convenient time to ban him.
Yeah, to force the rules.
Right.
I can no longer kind of parse out the mechanical money making side of businesses versus, well, think about this. We've been talking about this for a long time. Back to my favorite Subaru commercials. Like, it's made with love.
Yay.
Okay, I don't see any MSRP. I don't know how much down you want. I don't know what the torque and the horsepower. A lot of companies have realized that our personal ethos is worth something. Like, we have this is how we feel.
Yeah,
you know, maybe.
If you have an emotional attachment to a brand, it's much more important than, oh, that's on sale or that and whatever the price is.
Right, so maybe. According to Brian's model, mechanically putting him on Twitter's not good, but for the ethos, maybe it's good to shun.
Right.
This is what we represent. Right. And now we're living in a world where everyone we don't care about price or warranties. We want to know what everyone represents.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
and maybe it's
right.
Maybe it's that.
Sorry, I just got a notification and I have to read it. This is from People Magazine, just came on my phone. A Homeland Security agent detailed disturbing allegations in the federal investigation against Josh Duggar from 19 Kids and Counting. Homeland Security, because, you know, we said,
His Twitter.
No. Homeland Security Investigations, Special Agent Gerald Faulkner testifying for the prosecution alleged Duggar downloaded computer files depicting child sex abuse on May 14th, 15th, and 16th of 2019. And I'm going to skip down here. One file, according to Faulkner, depicted child sex abuse involving children ranging from 18 months to 12 years of age.
Ew.
Faulkner described the images as, quote, the top five of the worst I have ever had to examine.
18 months.
And then he says, according to Faulkner, when Homeland Security officials raided Duggar's car dealership and asked to speak with him, without informing them why they were there, Duggar spontaneously responded, what is this about? Has someone been downloading child pornography?
Wow. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I wasn't doing.
I went Jerry Lundegaard on him.
Yeah, right.
To be fair to him, anytime a cop pulls me over and says, you know why I pulled you over, I do answer that way.
Child pornography. Somebody down.
Certainly not the child porn.
What am I going to say? Blasted through that four-way stop sign and indict myself?
Yeah. Implicate yourself?
He's pulling me over for something I did on the road,
That's
Gina.
Right. You're right. You're right. Faulkner also said Duggar had a program on his computer called Covenant Eyes.
Oh, come on.
Which the agent described as accountability software that monitors and reports objectionable internet use. According to Faulkner, the program was registered to Duggar and would send reports to his wife, Anna. So I don't know if Josh even knew
this
that was
is
on there. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't like this at all.
She kind of knew that was his.
I guess.
Roof.
Maybe That's she yeah,
pretty
alerted.
Strong implication.
Covenant Eyes. Yeah. And she gets a report every time he downloads something insane.
I don't like that story.
Yeah, this is crazy.
It's a disease, right? I mean,
think about how powerful the urge must be for those people to know how wrong it is, to know all the implications and still go through with it.
Well, and it's like, talk about not learning your lesson. We talked about how he had already had issues molesting his sisters. And I don't know if that's even, I'll say allegedly because I don't remember, but that's not a I learned my lesson situation because now we're doing this.
Well, you know, look, that's the name of those guys who tear apart the phone books, right?
That's
Ben
right.
The Rebar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Covenant guys.
Nobody really likes these conversations, but, you know, we say, you know, that person's gay. The person doesn't have a choice,
right.
You know? And when we used to ostracize that person and harm them and do whatever, and then at some point we just went, that's what that person likes, you know?
Right.
And there's variations of that within heterosexuality.
Yeah.
I sort of believe you just got what you got.
Oh, like, absolutely. Who would choose that?
And yeah, right.
Well, I listen to enough Love Line to know that people get scrambled at a young age.
Yeah, well, this is really the problem with molestation, as I always say, it was the gift that keeps giving. You know, you do that to the person, and that person ends up. Yeah, I don't even know if it's normalized. They just molest the other. Anytime somebody was molest somebody else, they were molested.
Right.
They were the victim at some point. It's a horrible sort of chain. And, you know, unfortunately, you got to put these people somewhere where they can't get to people.
Yeah.
That's about all we got.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, is this a Well, is Jared still in prison? How long do you go for when it's this kind of situation?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, when he's out, I want him working for Quiznos.
I'm
going to blow up the internet. Oh, yeah, I'm out, bitch. I'll put the weight back on, and here's how goddamn good Quiznos is.
Get yourself
is.
A Firehouse sub.
Yeah.
Oh, those are so good. Oh, my God.
The internet would explode.
You're right.
And the business would go through the roof.
Oh, and put the weight back on.
Yeah, yeah.
So you go back to the old pants.
Yeah.
That's right.
Step back in those old pants.
Mm-hmm.
Jared was sentenced to serve 15 years, 8 months in federal prison with a minimum of 13 years before becoming eligible for early release, and that was in 2015.
Oh, boy. Mm. Okay.
All right.
I just have to do this one more to pay it off real quick because I mentioned it at the beginning of the show.
Cleanse the palate.
Poor children of New York, the bygone days of the snow day, which you two never experienced.
No. Mm-hmm.
They are over. Thanks, COVID lockdown. So New York City public school students won't be rooting for those snowstorms anymore because now, guess what? We have a tried and true test that it can be done from home.
Mm.
So there's no more snow day. So all they would do, the city's Department of Education announced that they would just switch to remote learning in case of a blizzard. No big deal. Since the system shows that they can do that easily now, everything's in place. The officials issued a statement saying the pandemic created the ability to switch seamlessly to remote learning. And
unintended consequences.
Yes.
Schools have distributed hundreds of thousands of devices to ensure that learning can continue during closures.
We did do a story last year about virtual snow days.
Yes.
Because the kids were getting screwed for not having snow days that they had a virtual snow day.
Oh.
You guys, God, you'll never know when that crawl on the screen. Well, what did you have? Smog days?
We had smog alerts. Which meant we had to go to school, but no PE.
Oh, yeah.
It was like extra punishment.
All you do is just still in your pajamas, put your snow pants on and your coat on over your pajamas and grab your sled and go up to the hill across the street.
Mm, just like that turn of the century footage we're watching. Right.
Called someone on a penny farthing.
That's you know, there. I just have to tell you, this is my favorite story. My mom was very cool this way. Although, you know, in the summer, daylight savings, it's still light out, and we had to go to sleep, and you could hear the whistle from the lifeguard at the pool across the street, and we were in bed like assholes. But for snow days, and when it was really quiet and really snowy in the winter, one night it was like midnight, 1 o'clock
your
in the morning.
Lock you out,
like very, very late, and the sound is so dead because of the snow. The neighbors across the street were out playing, and we hopped up. We're like, "Mom, the targets are out there!" And she said, "Eh, what the hell?" And it was maybe literally 1 in the morning. Put all of our snow stuff on and played in the middle of the night in the snow. And you guys will never know that glory.
No, we won't. I think a kid should grow up around some snow,
it's,
or at least be brought
awesome.
To some snow, but the kind of the seasons.
Yeah, it's great.
All right, let's bring it home, snow girl.
You got it. Snow I'm angel. Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I want a big, strong guy. I feel safe, you
muscular.
Know, protect me.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Your minds are all blown by the hot water bottle, right?
I didn't think he'd be able to produce an image of that.
It's
that's crazy.
Nuts.
It's killed people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiple people, apparently.
And, I mean, are some just being killed from hyperventilation?
They're a long story yeah. inside out.
Seriously.
I do not know. But that's if you pick up a standard hot water bottle, it has got
those
a
are thick,
thick
as shit.
You
it's
can't
thick
even
as
pull
shit.
It.
You
yeah.
can't stretch it. If that thing when that thing does pop, it's coming back toward you. And God knows the guy blew it up with his nose. I mean that's an achievement. All right, let me hit JB Weld here. If your hot water bottle springs a leak, you got to go with JB Weld, trusted for over 50 years. DIYers trust these, and guys in the trades trust JB Weld, too. It's the world's strongest bond. Proud to have JB Weld Epoxy Adhesive as a sponsor. I personally know the owner, and I hung out with these guys when I was at SEMA, and I said, come on down, man. DIY projects, auto, crafts, plumbing, marine, and more. Use JB Weld on metal, wood, plastic, glass and ceramics as well. I used it to fix Sonny's shoe the other day. Stromer fixed his wet saw tray with it as well. JB Weld has just acquired Herculiner, by the way, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if you're looking for the world's strongest truck bed liner, Herculiner has you covered. Right, Dawson?
JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advanced Auto Parts, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA.
All right. We got Gary Lurris and Jump for Joy is the name of the album. Go out and get that. It's you can pre-order it now wherever you listen to music. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Gina Grad, Mull Bryan, and Gary Lurris saying mahalo.
Yeah, I got seasonal allergies. What of it?
You can follow The Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Catch Gina Grad and Teresa Strasser on the podcast Easy Listening. Paul Bryan on the Film Vault. A bunch of us over here on the water cooler. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your books, your movies, your tickets to see the Ace Man all at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies. At Geico, Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The 2020 presidential campaign in the United States was a pretty wild spectacle to watch, no matter what your political perspective may be. But there was one particular bit of rhetoric that jumped out at me. It was a criticism of Donald Trump leveled by Bernie Sanders that made use of a well-known historical tidbit. Here's what Sanders had to say.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs.
Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Trump golfs. The senator was riffing on one of the best-known stories from the history of ancient Rome. That is, that during a great fire that consumed the Roman capital in the year 64 AD, the self-absorbed Emperor Nero not only did nothing to help, but laughed and played the fiddle while his city burned. It's the kind of story that many people know, even if they know absolutely nothing else about Roman history. For a whole lot of people, the history of Rome is basically just Julius Caesar, Beware the Ides of March, and Nero fiddled as Rome burned. So, in a way, it's not surprising that this story has proved so enduring. It's just too perfectly symbolic. If you need a historical example of the ruling elite being hopelessly and heartlessly out of touch, I mean, this is it. Nothing quite says, I could care less, like playing a jaunty little tune on the fiddle. But we really should ask, is any of this true? Did the Emperor of Rome really sit back and put on an impromptu hoedown as his city crumbled beneath his feet? Well, here's the thing. If he did, there was no way he played the fiddle. In 64 AD, the violin hadn't even been invented yet. The instrument as we know it today wouldn't come into being for another 1,400 years at least. To give you some historical context, Nero playing the fiddle is basically the same as Charlemagne shredding the electric guitar. In 64 AD, the violin was an impossibly futuristic instrument. But we do know that Nero was an amateur musician and was particularly fond of an instrument known as the lyre, which was a small Greek harp. He was known to put on long recitals for his advisors where attendance was mandatory. So the original story was that Nero actually played the lyre and sang as the great fire ravaged Rome. But there's good reason to doubt that story too. The most trustworthy Roman sources inform us that the Emperor Nero wasn't even in Rome when the Great Fire broke out. In fact, we're told that the Emperor rushed back to the city as soon as he was informed so he could personally oversee the relief effort. So, Nero didn't fiddle as Rome burned, and he didn't play the lyre. He didn't sing. He didn't sit back all smug and laugh as his people suffered. He learned about the fire through messengers and did his best to respond. Now, that doesn't mean that Nero was somehow a good emperor or even a good guy. In fact, he was probably one of the worst. But the fiddle, well, that just wasn't a thing. Nero fiddling as Rome burned is a perfect example of what I call a historical myth. A little legend that got wrapped up in the transmission of our history and often gets repeated as a historical fact. My name's Sebastian Major, and on the podcast Our Fake History, we explore these historical myths and try to determine what's fact, what's fiction, and what is such a good story that it simply must be told. The podcast is one part storytelling and one part historical detective work. I do my best to bring these weird stories from our past to life, while also asking probing questions about whether or not we should believe them, and how these misunderstandings took root in the first place. On Our Fake History, the goal is to celebrate everything that's weird and wonderful about the past, while also thinking critically and trying to grab on to the slippery concept known as the truth. If Our Fake History sounds like it's for you, then subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.